All right, we are in Revelation chapter 12 this morning. I do not have any notes for you. I apologize, but it's not a whole lot of notes for the verses we'll be in. It's more or low. I'll have some verses that we'll actually turn to, but mostly discussion. And if we get to verse number 6, we will discuss the place called Petra. But in Revelation chapter 12, we'll go ahead and read verses. We'll read the entire chapter. So Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having heads, 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth..." Pardon my voice this morning. Verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Last week, we went through verses 1 and 2 about this great wonder in heaven that John saw, and we kind of looked at the possibilities of it being the constellation that he was being shown of Virgo and Leo, and how those lined up perfectly on September the 23rd, 2017. So we discussed all of that because, again, chapter 12 just reminds us and all Christians, all Bible believers, that God deals with Israel in the tribulation. His focus goes back to Israel. It's not what some do believe and teach, that replacement theology where God has replaced he's replaced Israel with the church. No, because of Israel's rejection of the Messiah as a whole nation, it opened up the way that God already knew it would open up, the way of salvation for the Gentiles. All right, but God goes back to focus on Israel so that he is true to his word, because he gave Daniel, right, the prophecy of the 70 weeks, and there's one more week to be fulfilled, which is called Jacob's trouble, which is that that seven-year tribulation. All right, so in verse 3 and 4, all right, first John sees the great wonder of this woman, all right, verse 1, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars, which we know that that is Israel, and that's also going back to Joseph's dream that God had given him, all right, and she being great with child, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, comes out of the nation of Israel, all right, verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, all right, so John is seeing another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, as we kind of looked at those constellations last week, I was trying to find it because I saw someone, they had a picture of the, of these constellations, and I couldn't find it to show you. But if you remember, maybe you still have your handout from last week, you know, the constellation of Virgo and Leo, all right, and how we talked about 2017, how Jupiter, you know, for 9 months, 8 months stayed within the center of Virgo, and on the 9th month it moved down as though giving birth, okay? Well, studying it more and going more into it, after that happened, all right, they have all these pictures that after Jupiter moved from the center of Virgo to, you know, the bottom, then it looks as though Jupiter proceeds to go up. And what I didn't have a picture of, and I was trying to get it where I could show you, because I saw it, someone had it, that when you zoom out from that picture I gave you, there's another constellation, and I forget the names of them, but it looks like a man and then a serpent, and Jupiter passed by this constellation that you know, depicts a serpent, passed by his mouth, the serpent's mouth. Well, what does it say right here in verse 4? It says, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, I'll try to get that for you because it just, you know, again, John sees and he says a red dragon, okay? So, you know, the constellation's not a red dragon, but when you look at it, again, we're not supposed to be, you know, sign seekers, but when you look at what God created, the stars, you know, signs are the Jews. We talked about that last week. All right, it's just amazing how God would have this happen on one day. You know, just all of these things happening. Because again, when you go back, how did the wise men know to leave the east and go to Jerusalem? How did they know that the King of Kings had been born? A star, which means they were looking up. Well, who taught them that? You go back, Daniel did. Daniel prophesied about the coming Messiah. And again, these wise men, they know that, you know what, based on this star, something is going to happen, all right? The star appears, right? And they know that the King of Kings, the Messiah, has been born, and they go in search of him, okay? Again, our sign as Gentiles is Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary. We know that God has manifested his love. Our sins have been paid for, okay? So John's seeing this wonder in heaven, all right? And then verse 3, he sees another, all right? Another wonder in heaven, all right? There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, all right? He describes what he sees, this great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. All right, we know the red dragon is Satan, Because you read on in verse 9, it says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, all right? So we know the red dragon, that is Satan. He's the one that wants to devour Christ. He wants to destroy Israel, God's people, all right? But he never can. He never can. But he continues to try to destroy them, even in the last days, right? The second part of the tribulation, that second 3.5 years, he still tries to destroy them, but God continues to help his people because God never fails. He keeps his promises, right? But in reference to the red dragon, keep a finger here, but go to chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. Then we'll go to the Old Testament to Ezekiel. But Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2. verse 1, this is John again. He says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Go to the Old Testament and go to Ezekiel. I know you already know that the dragon is the devil, but just looking at some references in Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture, letting God's Word be the commentary of God's Word. All right, commentaries that men write are not wrong. All right, as long as they're not adding, you know, any lies to it. But it's just that it's man's commentary. It's man's opinion on what he's reading. Always revert back to letting the Bible dictate what it's saying. Because I don't know how God thinks, right? His thoughts are above our thoughts, right? Again, when even studying out the book of Revelation, we don't really know how everything's going to play out. We get kind of a picture, all right? We know that the devil is going to come and wreak havoc on this earth for 7 years, and especially the 3.5 years as he tries to annihilate Israel and God's people again. He has been trying to do that time and time again since man was created upon this planet, all right? But again, when you go to Ezekiel 29, chapter 29, and verses 3 and 4, it says, speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stink unto thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales. Again, just another reference to the devil, because the devil's behind every ruler that has tried to kill God's people. Who was behind Adolf Hitler? The devil, all right? Adolf Hitler was just a type of the Antichrist, right? Because he wanted world power. He wanted to destroy God's people. Well, so did the pharaohs. The pharaoh wanted world power, right? He wanted to destroy God's people, and God calls him the dragon. Go to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 and verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Again, God even refers to Nebuchadnezzar as a dragon. Again, just the spirit of the devil behind these mortal men to try to accomplish what the devil wants to accomplish. Again, like I kind of even referenced, I believe, last week, was that this, all of this, you read through Scripture, it's about a kingdom, all right? Because the devil said, I will ascend above God's throne. He wants to dethrone God, but he can't, right? He can't physically dethrone God, but he wants to be like God. He wants to take God's kingdom from him, right? That's why rebellion is as witchcraft among God's people. Because Saul Samuel says of Saul, because Saul wouldn't keep the word of God, wouldn't obey what God said, he tells Samuel that his rebellion as is witchcraft. It's like witchcraft, and God hates witchcraft, right? The Bible says that don't suffer a witch to live. But what is promoted in our culture, in our society, and unfortunately even among some Christians? Sorcery, witchery. I mean, again, just very recently, within the last year, I heard of a young girl that I went to church before I went to the ministry. I know her parents. I know her upbringing. And she went to Bible college, and she's serving in a church right now. And yet her favorite book series is Harry Potter. You think God's pleased with that? No, because it's demonic. It's devilish. God's people have no business yoking up with the devil, right? Are the things of the devil, but yet, young Christians think it's okay, right? And even some older Christians think it's okay. But listen, if the devil is called a dragon, is a dragon a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. Because God said, when Satan, Lucifer, rebelled against his creator, again, the Bible tells us that Lucifer was an angelic being, beautiful. God gave him the responsibility of leading the heavenly choir in worshiping God. I mean, Lucifer, the devil, was a cherubim, just like Michael. I mean, the devil was over the throne of God. I mean, he was above God, leading heaven's host in worshiping the Lord, but now he's no longer an angelic being. He can appear as an angel of light to deceive people, but here's his description. He's a red dragon. He's a demonic creature. And besides witchery and sorcery being promoted in society, our culture, and even, unfortunately, some of God's people's favorite books and things, people are fascinated with dragons. They're fascinated with dragons, but yet, when I look at the Bible, a dragon is not a good thing, right? A dragon is not a good thing because this red dragon is all about stealing, killing, deceiving. I mean, it's all about murder. It's all about destroying life. And yet, there are people that just love relics that, are dragons, pictures of dragons, movies of dragons. But again, as God's people, we're told, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. All right? We're not to have anything to do with the ungodly, with the wickedness. Now, being a red dragon, though, like I said, it signifies his murderous nature. It's all about murder, right? Jesus said that he is a murderer, all right? He's not only the father of lies, but he's a murderer, and he's been a murderer since the beginning because he caused Eve and Adam to rebel against God and to die, to spiritually die, all right? But not only that, because of the sin, death passed upon all. So, you know what? He is the reason for death. He's the reason that we have to look at loved ones dying on their deathbed, all right? So again, dragons are not a good thing. I don't believe that as God's people, we should have pictures or any type of relics in our home that is a dragon, that has anything to do with sorcery or evilness or wickedness, because it's just an open door for spiritual oppression in a Christian's home. Again, we look at the Bible. God says you can't. Jesus says you can't. You can't drink the cup of devils and drink the cup of the Lord. I mean, you can't. As I say, you can't. Dance with the devil and walk with God. You can't do both, right? I mean, evil communications corrupt good manners. I know that we're in Revelation, but it bothers me to hear of so many Christians that promote wickedness and they think it's okay. And they don't realize the demonic oppression that they're under. Okay? And God's delivered us from that. But again, being a red dragon signifies his murderous nature. All right? And look at these. Go to Isaiah 14, because I want you to be reminded of who Satan is. He is a fallen angel, but he's a powerful angel, but not more powerful than the Lord. Jesus Christ is so powerful, he took the keys of death and hell out of the hands of Satan. All right? So Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, okay, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Because remember, I don't know if I have this in my notes or not, but when God created the worlds and spoke things into existence, the morning stars sang out, the Bible says. They shouted, seeing God's glory and seeing him create things. And yet, one-third of them rebelled against their creator. Okay? But again, all right, "Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations?" All right? "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Just Lucifer was his name. All right? That's the name that God had given him, just like God gave Gabriel his name, Michael his name, and all the other stars, all the other angels. All right? But Lucifer is now known as Satan, the devil, that old serpent, right? Now look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28 and verses 12 through 15. So Ezekiel 28, verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone." This is God is describing Lucifer. Right? He was in the garden of Eden, right? Because he was there and he deceived Eve. Right? "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold." I mean, you talk about beauty. He was beautiful, all right? "The workmanship of thy taprets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." God created a perfect creature. But like with everything, even with humans, he gave them a will. You want to serve me or not? Because again, it still boggles my mind that Satan would rebel against his creator, but then even be able to convince one-third of the angels to rebel. It's like, so they had to, even though God created them beautiful and perfect, yet he allowed them to be able to choose who they wanted to serve. And I believe that after the fall, I believe Michael, Gabriel, and the others that stayed devoted to their creator, I believe that God sealed them to where they would not rebel against him because they chose to serve him, all right? It's just my belief on the angels, but again, just describing Lucifer, and yet he rebelled against his creator. So again, like I said, going back to Revelation 12, verse 3, dragon equals evil. There is no good dragon, just like there is no good witch, all right? And serpent also equals evil, all right? I don't believe that God's people should have anything in their homes, in their possession, that depicts evil. And again, you know, sometimes we don't really scrutinize everything that we buy and purchase or things are given. I was given a beautiful picture from my uncle back in my early 20s when I My wife and I, we lived in Wisconsin and lived in our first home. We were attending Madison Baptist Church, and I love it. I mean, my uncle, he travels the country, go down in Mexico and stuff, and, you know, he'd come and visit a couple of times, and he brought this beautiful picture and this wooden frame to me from Mexico. I mean, looking at it, just all colorful and stuff, and just looked good, you know. And, you know, I was not, you know, kind of new in my faith and stuff, and not knowing, you know, I should be, you know, really scrutinizing stuff, you know, make sure I'm not, you know, bringing things into the home that would be an open door to the devil and stuff like that, because unfortunately, yes, objects can be an open door for the devil, all right? Any object, really. So that's why you have to pray over stuff. But, you know, just, you know, beautiful picture, put it in the boys' room, stuff like that. And we start having some problems in our home. And we couldn't figure it out. Some spiritual, demonic issues going on in the home. And it was an older home. It was 100 years old. And our first pastor we had over and prayed over the house and stuff. And some things were revealed. And then my, you know, next pastor of the church that I was under for 13 years, I called him, you know, can you come? Because we can't figure it out. I mean, something's just not right. We just feel something's off in the home. And he came, and you know, when we sat in the living room and we prayed and prayed over the house and stuff and just asking God, you know, show us anything that, you know, is an open door, anything that needs to go, you know. And so we, you know, opened our eyes, we're done praying and just kind of looking around. And he kind of saw my acoustic guitar in the corner there. And he said, where'd that come from? Bought it from a guitar shop. And as soon as I said I bought it from, you know, I told him the store, a thought came to me from the Lord that when I had bought it, the salesman took it and was playing on it to show me how it sounded, but it was a demonic tune he was playing. So we prayed over it, all right? Prayed over it. Then, you know, we're walking through the house and we go upstairs and go to the boy's room looking around. The first thing he looks on the wall, I said, where'd that picture come from? I tell him, my uncle, get rid of it. First thing I'm thinking in my thought, like, I can't get rid of that. My uncle gave me that. And we ended up getting rid of it, but I'm like, why? What's wrong with it? He said, come here. I mean, he spotted it right off the bat. He said, look at the picture. I'm like, I'm seeing all these people and stuff. I'm like, yeah. Okay, and I look right here in the center. I'm looking. I didn't notice it before, but it was people, it's a painting, but they were dressed up in demonic outfits, and it was depicting a ritual that they were doing that I had not noticed. All right, so we got rid of it. He took it for me, and he went and he threw it away somewhere, all right, and after that, things got better in the home, all right. Not to some people, they're like, oh, you know, that sounds like Hollywood. No, it's spiritual warfare, all right? It's spiritual warfare. Again, the devil's looking for open doors to get into people's homes and into their lives. That's why smoking marijuana is not good. It's wicked. No Christian should be doing it because it opens up them for demonic oppression, all right? And obviously, if someone's not saved, it opens them up to demonic infiltration where they are possessed because, again, you're coming out of your state of mind, right? Again, if we're not careful, we will give place to the devil in our homes and in our lives. Again, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy is what Jesus had said. So again, I'm just advocating what the Bible tells us to do. We shouldn't have anything in our possessions that depicts evil or anything, all right? Now, look at the description again. He's a red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, all right? He's a red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. We'll get more into that as we get into chapter 13, but that refers to, it depicts his world governance. because he's the one that's going to set up the one world religion, the one world economy, the one world government, all right? It's all about control. It's all about power, but it's limited. His kingdom is limited. He wants to set up a kingdom, and he'll have a kingdom for a little bit, right, as he is the savior of the world, bringing peace to Israel, but then obviously breaking that peace treaty at the 3.5-year mark. And then Jesus Christ comes and he'll be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and eventually into a lake of fire. So his kingdom is limited. But when you look at chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "And I, John, stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy." All right, so he's going to come onto the scene in this world, rising out of the sea, and the sea is a picture of the world. All right, the land has always been, in scripture, you read through, the land has always been a picture of Israel, stable, right? But the sea is something that is not stable. It's always moving. And I can just throw this out there. Don't ever attend a church where their name is River. If it's the River Church, don't attend it. Because is a river stable? No, it's moving. It's always moving. It's always shifting. So guess what? They're not going to be teaching the solid word of God, right? Or the solid ways of the Lord. You got to really pay attention to the names of things, all right? To the names of things. I mean, nowadays, speaking of the devil, nowadays, sin is just so, it's so blatant and it's so received. What's on all the stores that sell alcohol? It'll say wine, beer, and spirits. They really need to change it from spirits to demons, because that's what it is. It's demons, but spirits. I mean, they're promoting, hey, come drink the alcohol because you're going to have a great time with the demons. All right? And just, again, just even with this. All right? So when you think about what John is seeing, okay, we've talked about the 7 churches, the things going on, the seals being broken by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the trumpets, right? We haven't gotten to the vials or the bowls yet, those judgments, kind of in a, what do you call it, interlude or whatever. We're kind of at a pause right now. God's revealing some other things, all right? And he's revealing that, here it is, it's the devil. He's the red dragon, all right, with the 7 heads, the 10 horns, and the 7 crowns upon his head. All right, he's the prince of this world. Look at John chapter 12, because, again, it's about a kingdom. Now, in God's plan, God had the plan of salvation, all right? In this program, I don't really want to call it a program, but, you know, in God's plan of creating man, he already had the plan of salvation ready. All right? It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't Jesus on, like some believe and teach on, you know, Mount Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, you know, coming up with a different plan because the people rejected him. Well, now I got to go die, right? It was God's plan from the beginning, okay? But when you think about the devil, he's called the prince of this world. And then I think it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, Paul calls him the god of this world, all right? Little g, okay? Just because that's who he wants to be. But he's not the king of kings. He's referred to as the prince of this world by Jesus in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." All right? He's speaking of the devil. Go to chapter 14 and verse 30. Because in verse 30, he says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Again, he's referring to the devil. All right? chapter 16, verse 11. Chapter 16, verse 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. All right, just again, Jesus referring to the devil calls him the prince of this world. Later, Paul would call him the god of this world who blinds the eyes and minds of people so they are deceived. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the deceiver, the great deceiver. All right, so let's go back to Revelation chapter 12 and look at verse number 4. All right, we have the so what John sees is another great wonder, this great red dragon. And he's seeing this, and verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And we don't even know what number that is. How many angels are there, right? And the Bible never tells us how many. And he drew a third of them and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So John is... he's seeing something that has already happened. All right? The fall of Lucifer and the fall of one third of the angels, and then he wants to devour Jesus Christ. And what happened in the day that Jesus Christ was born? Well, at about the 2 years, at 2 years old, roughly, the wise men come seeking the king of the Jews. They go to Herod because they were following a star, but now the star has disappeared. They know that, okay, we're in the location, we just don't know where he's at. They go to Herod. Herod inquires of the Pharisees, the scribes, you know, where is he supposed to be born? Because they know scripture. And they say, in Bethlehem. So then he tells the wise men, okay, in Bethlehem, so go to Bethlehem, find him, and then come bring me word because I want to worship him too. But obviously we know that what was in his heart was not worship, because later when he sees he's been deceived himself and that the wise men didn't come back to tell him, he kills every male child, every boy 2 years old and under. Well, that's Satan trying to devour the child, trying to devour Christ, all right, through Herod. Herod being his arm of destruction, his arm of murder, all right? But he doesn't succeed, okay? He doesn't succeed. But he's called the prince of this world. And again, verse 4, it's just letting us know this is when Lucifer fell. Now, when did he fall? All right, some people think back, you know, they'll go back to Genesis chapter 1. They're trying to say, well, in between, you know, verse 1 and verse 2, you know, he fell somewhere. Okay, well, he fell. I don't know when, right? But at some point he fell, okay? The Bible tells us that, all right? He fell and he was able to draw one third, it says, of God's angels with him in rebellion against their creator. They rebelled against their creator and against their creator's kingdom. Again, God sits high and lifted upon his throne. Ezekiel saw that. God lifted high upon his throne, right? God is a king, all right? God is a king. And when you study out kingdoms, you always have another king want to take over kingdoms, dethrone that king, and they sit on their throne and they become the king of that, you know, that realm. And that's what the devil wants to do. So he draws a third. They rebel against their king, against the creator and his kingdom. All right, because they were created specifically for the things that they were doing. We already saw Lucifer created to be music. I mean, music is powerful, isn't it? Music can control people. Music can alter people's state of mind. Man, it just bothers me. I know this isn't being live streamed, but so I can tell you, I have a relative who they claim to be saved. They're not in the right frame of mind. They sent my wife a music clip. And they were saying just how, you know, this song, if I had written it, it is just my life. This is just of God. It was the most devilish, wickedest music. In the video, we didn't watch it long. I mean, my stomach was already turning just hearing the introduction music. But this guy is wheeled in a wheelchair in a insane asylum is the backdrop. And I mean, he just goes into this just wicked, just, I mean, I've never heard music like this before. And when I was a teenager, I listened to heavy metal. And this music, if you know anything about heavy metal, this music made heavy metal sound like lullabies. So we read the background of this guy, and he blatantly says the purpose of his music is to alter people's minds, to make them go crazy. I'm thinking, well, I've done a pretty good job on my relative. I mean, just like I said, within a matter of seconds, my insides were just cringing at just the sound of the music. And then when he started singing, I had to turn it off. It was like, that is so demonic. Typed this roll to the back and said, that is the most wickedest demonic music. That is not God honoring or God glorifying. They got mad. Because they've been influenced. Okay? Listen, music is powerful. Lucifer, the Satan, knows it. And he'll use all types of music. It doesn't have to be, you know, gory music like rap and all this stuff. It can even be, you know, again, he's an angel. He can appear as an angel of light. He can make things, you know, sound, okay, soothing. You know, it's Christian music. And then at the end of it, there's absolutely nothing said about the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing said about the peace of Christ, nothing said about Jesus, except at the end, and this is some other music that someone had me listen to, and just at the end, there's a whisper, Jesus. It was kind of creepy. It was like, okay, that is not Christian music. At least not Christian music based upon the Bible, because God's music glorifies him. It lifts up him, okay? Just because it has the label Christian on it doesn't mean it is. You'll know, because the Holy Spirit will witness with your spirit. Right, the Bible says the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit also witnesses with us that whether something's good or evil, if it's right or not. I mean, the pit of your stomach will get all in knots if it's not of God, okay? Now, again, I know that the Bible talks about people, you know, someone can be saved. I can't, you know, to me, for this relative, I've never seen any fruit in their life, any spiritual fruit. But I'm not their judge. God is. They claim to be saved. But Jesus calls us to be fruit inspectors. He says, ye shall know them by their fruit. Right? And what fruit are they supposed to be producing? Well, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life. Right? The fruit of being transformed more into the image of Christ. So again, chapter 12 depicts Satan as who he is. He is the red dragon. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to murder. He is the one that is behind all the murders in this world. All right, he's trying to destroy. In verse 4, he's trying to destroy Jesus Christ, and he will continue to try to destroy God's people, Israel. All right, but for time's sake, look at verse 6, all right? Verse 5, he says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. We know it's Jesus Christ, right? Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. All right, 3.5 years. The persecution that the devil, the red dragon, will pour out and leash upon Israel when he sits upon the throne, or sits on the throne in the temple, all right, in the last 3.5 years. We still got that. There is a place that has been prepared. You know what? We'll go into that more next week, but let me read you these things about who Satan is, and then we'll get to the one who is the victor, all right? Again, think about the red dragon, right? Satan, he is a murderer from the beginning. That's what Jesus said in John 8:44. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Peter said that in 1 Peter 5:8. He hurled against Jesus everything that he could possibly lash at Jesus when he was on the earth in the Matthew chapter 4 in the wilderness tempting Jesus. All right? He's the cause of every murder. He's the cause of every deathbed scene. He's the cause of all unrest and unhappiness. He's the cause of every tear that falls. He energizes every arm that hurts, kills, scars, or destroys lives. All right? But he is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. We see in Revelation, he'll have some time. His time is short, but he is a defeated foe, because in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus cried out in victory, "It is finished." It is finished, right? Yes, he shed his blood for the remission of sin. He died for the sins of the world, right? He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. But then he also, when he arose from the grave, and now the Holy Spirit gets to indwell every believer and seals them until the day of redemption, but gives us the power to live a victorious life through Christ, where the devil no more has control other than what people give him. Again, the temptation to go back to an old lifestyle always rears up its ugly head to people, because the devil, he knows he can't take someone's salvation. Man, he wants to, "Hey, don't you remember the leeks and the onions back in, you know, Egypt? Don't you remember how it was so good? I mean, you're following Jesus, you're 3 days in the wilderness, you have no food, you're tired, you're hungry, you're thirsty. God's not providing for you," right? Wanting them to go back. Revelation chapter 19, we'll end with this. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. I am so glad the devil is a defeated foe in the lives of God's people. Even though he is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16, very quickly. John says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." The devil only had 7 crowns. Jesus has many crowns that can't even put a number on it, right? Because it depicts that he is truly the King of Kings. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." Again, the devil's always trying to be a counterfeit to Christ. He's the red dragon. Jesus, he's wearing clothes dipped in blood. All right? Because he died for the sins of the world, right? "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You keep reading, but you know how the outcome is for the devil. He has a short time, but then he will eventually be thrown into the lake of fire, because he can't take the kingdom from God. He even tries to He even tries to create his own kingdom, but that's taken away from him, right? Because this earth belongs to the Lord. It's going to burn up. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, right? And man, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect, right? Again, I'm glad that God's people won't be here during those 7 years. But it's just still, it still lets us know that, you know what? The devil just has been tirelessly trying his best to take over this world, to destroy Israel, to try to keep Christ from coming into the world to save the world, and he never has. And as even as we'll look at next week, this dragon, when he starts to persecute Israel in the last 3.5 years, he will cause a flood to go after these people that flee into the wilderness to try to drown them and take them away. But as it said, God prepared a place. He's already prepared a place, a refuge, and a fortress for them to escape to, and where these floods cannot kill them or destroy them. And we'll look at that next week as we serve an amazing and awesome God who has everything under control. Father, we do thank you this morning for your greatness. Father, we ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts, continue to encourage us through the scriptures. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to transform us more into the image of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit's fruit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.